an unusual title to it, a preference for zapping. You know, I think a lot of times whenever we think of God, or at least the way a lot of people think of God, I've always said one of the most popular beliefs is that God is Santa Claus, and that all you have to do is ask Him for stuff, and He'll deliver it to you underneath the Christmas tree. But at the same time, I think a lot of people have an impression of God being a magician, and all they have to do is wish for things, and God is going to zap it into existence for them. Next week, we're going to talk a lot about some of the things that Christians sometimes believe that God is going to just automatically zap into them. And we'll be looking at some specific things that I think that I'm just going to be talking from experience, from comments and things that some of my brothers and sisters over the years past have made to me that made me believe that they did believe they really needed to work for some of those things. They just thought that God was going to zap it to them. So we'll talk about that next week. But we want to talk about this preference for zapping and the way God does things and the way God works. You know, I grew up as a child of the 70s. And, of course, you know, back in the 70s is whenever TV really started getting big. And, you know, if we weren't working in the garden or Dad didn't have us chopping wood or doing chores, you know, whatever the deal was, you know, a lot of times as families we would sit in front of the TV and we would watch programs. And especially Saturday mornings, again, if Dad didn't have me out doing something, Saturday mornings to a kid in the 70s was a big deal. Because that was the only time you could watch cartoons. It's the only time you could watch kids stuff. You know, nowadays you can turn on cable and you got four or five channels of kids stuff. But that isn't the way it was back in the 70s. But I can remember some of the shows that I used to watch, some of my favorites. You know, Bewitched, where, you know, all Samantha had to do was think about something, wiggle her nose. I kind of have to do the Tabitha version because I can't do the nose wiggle. But you remember how it went. Boom, poof, zap. It would come into existence. And then there was, of course, I Dream of Jeannie, where all, you know, Jeannie, if something wanted, something needed to be done, all she'd do is give it this, and boom, there it was in existence. Then the Saturday morning thing, you know, I was a H.R. Puffin stuff fan, and you always had to watch out for Witchy Poo because she'd wave that wand, and zap, something bad would happen. So, you know, we grow up with these notions of things just popping into existence or a belief, and a lot of times we think that that's the way God is. Well, to some degree, when we read Scripture, there are certain events that happen that kind of lead us into that belief. As we look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, it says, "When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him," this being Jesus, of course, "and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" Guess what? Zap! Immediately, the Bible says, his leprosy was cleansed. And you know what's interesting about that is, and I know that there are instances in Christ's ministry where he asked them if they had faith and belief. Have you ever seen some of the miracle working on TV? You know, these guys that claim to do the miracles and stuff. And every one of them, whenever someone comes up and they put their hand on them to shove them down, which that would offend me right off the bat. But, you know, they ask them, "Do you have faith that this can happen to you? Do you believe that this will be done?" Well, Christ didn't always do that. Here was an example right here. Of course, the man with leprosy showed his faith by simply coming and saying, "You know, if you're willing, you can do this for me." But Christ didn't ask him if he had the faith. He just simply said, "Be cleansed." And zap, he was cleansed. Luke chapter 8, verse 43 through 44 says, "Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any." And it was a bad situation, especially for Jewish women, because a Jewish woman in this particular situation could not enter the temple. So she was probably not allowed to enter the temple for years. And so it was that it says that she came from behind and just touched the border of his garment. And immediately, zap, the flow of blood stopped. In John chapter 6 and verse 21, here's something that I think sometimes we easily miss. And when you look at the incidents that happened here in John chapter 6, first of all, of Christ coming across the water on a tempestuous sea at night and walking on the water, and then Peter recognizing Jesus and saying, "Hey, can I come out and do that?" And of course he did for a little while until his faith got weak. And you know, there was a lot of stuff happening that night. Well, what's interesting is in verse 21 it says, "And they willingly received him into the boat," and zap, immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. There is no speedboat that exists today that can do that. I mean, they immediately was on the other side. Acts chapter 3, verse 2 through 10, "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.'" Now notice the fact the man's not asking to be healed. So there's not a matter of faith here. But look at what Peter and John are getting ready to do. "So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and zap, immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaping up," he didn't just stand up, "leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping." I mean, after all, if you hadn't had your legs for all of your life, you want to test them out. Don't just walk, run, leap, jump. That's, you know, this guy's excited about getting them back. "And all the people saw him walking and praising God, that they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. 'Since I have been a child, I have heard these stories. I have read these stories. I have preached these stories.'" And you can see where it is easy sometimes for some to believe that, you know, this is the way God works. That if I need something in my life, all I have to do is ask him, or at least expect it of him, and he's going to zap it right into my life. Whatever I need. And we'll talk about some of those next week. But one of the things that we need to realize is that even in the Bible, things didn't always just come into existence immediately. Answers from God didn't always happen immediately. Things weren't always zapped into people's lives and expectations just because they expected them to. And so it is that I want to take a look at three examples, one extensively, and we're going to look at that now, in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. If you got your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to read from that, and I'm going to talk about some of the things that happened here. You're probably very familiar with the lesson. But here was one of the I think, great examples of the way that God works. It's not always immediate. Now, can I say that there have been times in my life, and I don't know of anything that just zapped into existence, okay? But we do expect for God to work quick. And yes, there are times God works quick. There's sometimes we pray for something and get it fairly quick. But sometimes it doesn't always work that way, does it? Here was a man named Naaman. And Naaman had some expectations that I think a lot of people in the world today have of God. Starting out in verse 1, it says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. Because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife." To me, out of this whole story, and this is just kind of a side note, but this little slave girl is the hero of the story. She is the hero of Christianity in this story. Because think about the fact that you are a slave. You have no freedoms. You have no possibility or options of freedom. You have to do everything your master or mistress tells you to do. Would you be free in helping them out? Would you be kind to them? Would you want to be? They've taken away your freedom, taken you from your family, put you in circumstances where you are manual labor for the rest of your life. And yet, look at what she does here. Verse 3, "Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.'" You know, it would be a great temptation being a slave to think, "I'll be glad when the master goes and dies. I'll be glad when this leprosy takes him, all that he's done to me." And maybe he was a good master, I don't know. But for her to come up with this information that was going to help him. And notice how she says it. This servant would cure him of his leprosy. This servant would heal him of his leprosy. And I'm sure that's how it was told to Naaman. So there's an expectation here that the healing is something that will take effect immediately. And that is going to be his expectation. Verse 4, "And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed and took him with 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, 'Now be advised when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy.'" And of course, the king of Israel at that time, he gets all worked up. "Who am I? How am I going to cure him of his leprosy? What have I done to cause the wrath of Syria?" Because Syria was a great nation at that time, and they were whooping up on everybody around them. So the king of Israel here thinks that he's getting ready to get whooped up on. He probably would have got whooped up on if things didn't happen the way they did. But verse 8 says, "So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean.'" All you have to do, Naaman, is go dip yourself 7 times in the river Jordan. Well, you know, the river Jordan's not like the Illinois River. You ever been over to the Illinois River? You ever been float tripping down the Illinois River? You know, one of the great things about the Illinois River is you can look down through the water and you just about see the bottom, the Illinois River. It's pure, it's clear, it's clean, it's cool. I mean, that's the kind of water you prefer to be around. But the River Jordan doesn't look that way. River Jordan looks a little bit like the Arkansas River after a flood. You know, kind of muddy. And so Naaman, he's being told, all you got to do is go dip 7 times in that river. And he gets angry. And the next few verses tell us that he gets so angry, he decides that, well, I'm just going to leave. In fact, look at that next verse. Here's what his expectation was. Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." You understand what he was wanting? He wanted old Elisha to pull out that magic wand and zap, leprosy's gone. Sometimes that's what we expect from God, don't we? But sometimes God wants us to go the little extra. He wants us to put in our effort. You ever heard that saying, God helps those who help themselves? There's a lot of truth to that. And right here is an example of that, because he is basically telling Naaman, look, I'll heal you of your leprosy, but I want you to go a little extra. I want you to put out a little effort. But Naaman didn't want to do that. In fact, he was heading off towards home, and his servant finally reminds him, you know, he talks some sense into him. Look at verse 12. "Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away and went in rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?" You know, sometimes I feel this way whenever I see... And Todd talked a little bit about this in one of his devotionals here last week or 2 weeks ago. But you know, there are people that are trying to make the plan of salvation more difficult than it is. Or to some degree, they try to make it more simple than it should be. God tells us very plainly what we need to do. And sometimes we think that we need to do something greater than that. Or sometimes we don't want to put out the effort at all in order to receive that salvation. But if we just simply do what God wants done, we will receive all from the Lord. God's word is not difficult to follow. His will is not difficult to follow. But we have to make up our minds to follow it. Naaman had to make up his mind. And his servant gave him good reason here. So verse 14, "So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God." Guess what happened? His flesh became normal. The leprosy was healed. It was washed away. He didn't get zapped. It didn't happen immediately. He had to put out some effort, but God came through in what he told Naaman that he would do. I think it's interesting that we just got through talking about the rescue of the Hebrew people from Egypt and how they were rescued from Pharaoh and his army. You remember how that happened? That the Red Sea was parted. And you know, sometimes when we think of that story, we think, well, you know, that sea just parted and just went back and people went through and that's all there was to it. But when you read the text closely, it said winds came up all night and parted the sea. It wasn't that Moses raised his staff and zap, it immediately happened. They had to wait a while. They had to wait for the winds to move the sea back. It's just the way God wanted to do it. He doesn't always zap things into existence. It took Christ 3 days to be resurrected. I've always wondered, you know, they knew he was good and dead whenever they stuck the spear in him. You know, why didn't God just make him leap down off of that cross after that point and say, okay, I'm back? Why the 3 days? Now somebody's going to say, well, you know, that's fulfillment of prophecy. Well, I understand that. But the fulfillment of prophecy could have been 2 days. fulfillment of prophecy, if he wanted it to, could have been one day. You know, he could have made prophets say within one day he'd be back. Or he could have made the prophet say he's going to die on the cross and then he's going to come down off that cross on his own because he's going to resurrect himself. But it took 3 days for it to happen. Things don't just always happen immediately. God has a purpose for all things. We don't always understand that purpose, but we need to trust in that purpose. And I think that that's one of the things as we look here in conclusion at the scripture that Paul gives us in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Before we get into next week's lesson, here's one of the things that we need to understand about God. I know that we live in a fast food, fast-paced, receive things in 2 days' mail. In fact, if we want to, we can receive things overnight. We want things done fast in our society. But brothers and sisters, one of the things we need to realize and learn is God doesn't always work fast. He does work efficiently. And we need to sometimes be satisfied with efficiency rather than speed. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Next week, we're going to look at several things that the Bible teaches us and several things that we practice within our lives or several things that we want in our lives. But things that we need to realize that they could either happen quickly or it may be a matter of years. So we'll look at that next week and continue our lesson on that. If you're here this morning and you would like to obey the gospel, you know, that's one thing that can happen immediately this morning. Because we stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel. As I mentioned, the gospel is simple and plain enough as it is. We don't have to doctor it up. We don't have to add to it. We don't have to take away from it. And to do so would be to define the authority of God and would be making it something that it is not. The plan of salvation is very simple. To believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To be willing to confess that before others. To repent of our sins. And to be washed in baptism by the blood of Jesus Christ, to enter into Him, to enter into His kingdom. And as the Scripture says, and I like to think about, to have our citizenship placed in heaven. You have that opportunity this morning, and we stand ready to assist you if you'll but come while together we stand and sing.